Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and I'm here with my co-host, Kirsten Milliken. Kirsten, how are you?
I'm doing quite well tonight, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Tonight is December the 12th, it's December the 12th in year 2012, so it's 12-12-12. It's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the year 2012. And tonight we have a show scheduled for you with Dr. Roberto Olivardi on ADHD and obsessive compulsive disorder, but we understand he's having difficulty kind of dialing in right now. So while we're waiting for him to see if we can get him on the line, Kirsten, let's just kind of run through some announcements real quick. We've been hyping up Attention Talk News recently, and that's something that you've been kind of headed up. Just share with everybody a little bit about that. Good.
Yeah, absolutely, Jeff. I've been having a great time playing with that, as a matter of fact. So Attention Talk News, every month there's a message from myself and sometimes Jeff at the head of the newsletter. There are then reminders about shows that recently happened. So if you want to go back in the archives, you can pull those up easily. There's a link there. And then there's also reminders about our upcoming shows, so you can make sure and schedule those and know where to find them. I should mention that the newsletter comes out only twice a month, so it's on the 7th and the 20th, so you're not going to be getting a ton of stuff from us in your in-mailbox. In addition to their show reminders, there's also a video there, and this the most recent one, I put a video on, Jeff, that I really like that you did with Linda Roglia around the neurotransmitters and her little play on naming them.
No, actually, it's been fun. That video's actually gotten a lot of play since we released it, so she does a great job with that. And it's I think everybody should watch it, particularly those with kids, because they can really put a name in the face of that stuff in a real fun way.
Well, and she's just, you know, she's fun to watch. She's got that great purple hat on, and she's so dynamic. And the way that she describes, you know, uses these names, it does just make sense. So it's a great way to learn about them. And then there's always the attention teaser that's on there, and I've actually got an attention teaser this month that's part one of two parts. So if you catch it on the recent newsletter, you'll also see another spin on it on the next one that's coming up. There's also usually some guest writing. And this time I've actually asked people, you know, to maybe send us some information, their thoughts about some questions that I had. So, again, it comes out twice a month. You can go to attentiontalknews.com and click on the button there to subscribe to Attention Talk News. And if you've got any feedback or questions or you want to see some particular information shown, don't hesitate to send us an email and let us know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Along with Attention Talk News, we've got Attention Talk Video. That's at attentiontalkvideo.com. It's a talk show on YouTube. And as Kirsten said, the most recent featured show is with Linda Rogley on neurotransmitters. We have a great video coming out next week with Dr. Now on ADHD in the cloud. We've been working through some of our production issues, and I think the quality is getting a little bit better. But we've got a lot of good stuff coming. So if you're out there, go check that stuff out, because it's some great stuff. Let's see. It looks like, it doesn't look like we're going to get Dr. Olivardi on tonight for some technical reasons. So, everybody, our apologies out there. We do have a little bit of a show in archives that we're going to run, and it's Michelle shares her coaching experience. And this is a show that we had taped for a period of time and kind of held out there. And this is just Michelle as an individual with ADHD who has been through the coaching experience, who shares where she is, and she's actually somebody I work with. So, we're going to run this show, at least for tonight, and we'll get back in touch with Dr. Olivardi when we can make sure we can get him on. So with that, let's run to the Michelle show, and we'll go from there. Take care. Welcome, everybody. Today in our virtual studio, we have Michelle. And Michelle is in today because I thought it would be a really kind of an interesting show to talk to somebody who has been through the coaching experience and to really get some feedback as to really kind of how it unfolded, some insights, lessons learned, to kind of get a little idea of what coaching is about for those that are out there who might be thinking that they would want to delve into coaching. I thought it'd be also kind of fun because many people aren't necessarily sure. They really kind of only really understand what it looks like and how it works. And so, again, we have Michelle in here, and we're just going to kind of kick things off. Let's just start. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm kind of excited about this. I guess to begin, can you just kind of tell us about your situation and where you were before you came to coaching?
Sure. I am 43 years old and discovered that I had ADHD later on in life, actually about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, thought that I had suffered from depression or, you know, different things that I can now see were clearly all associated with ADD. My son's diagnosed with it, and he was the impetus for me taking the
test yourself.
Test myself and figure it out, and all of a sudden it was aha. That brought on a sense of relief, but then I was like, all right, well, what do I do from here? Because with ADD, obviously, everything gets way overwhelming, and you're like, ah, what do I do? And I've subscribed to Chad and ADD Magazine, the different publications,
mm-hmm.
and I had seen coaching advertised for a long time. And hesitated because I have already tried pretty much everything in the book, and my husband at this point was like, really? Another thing? But I realized I probably looked about 6 months and kept coming back to specifically your ad. There were some things that triggered, you were in Florida, but more than that was I like the whole shift of attention thing, and I for some reason that really struck home with me.
Well, attention. We'll get into stuff in a second, but has your attention shifted?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, when we talk about your attention shifting, we're not talking about like your everyday attention shifting. We're talking about big picture, right?
Yes, we're talking about how I process and internalize things, how my viewpoint on things.
Uh-huh. So going back to where you were, you noticed that, so you decided to kind of jump in, but leading up to it, job situation, family situation, typical, just unorganized, struggling to find a career that was comfortable?
Yes. I'm officially a jack of all trades because I kept going from here to there and get real excited about something and then it would fizzle out and then I would beat myself up of what's wrong with me. Why is that not, you know, I liked it in the beginning and it really starting to pay attention to what was involved, specifically what was involved, and each of the things that I tried really opened my eyes to a lot, and that is obviously through coaching that I was able to do that because I never thought like that before.
Mm-hmm. And so before you kind of came to coaching, you had tried a few things. One, being a virtual assistant. I remember
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the other ones that you had tried?
I tried to do a lot of I would do some administrative things with being in an office, being at a
mm-hmm.
desk.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy graphics and
mm-hmm.
graphic design and whatnot. But I learned being stuck at a desk is not my cup of tea. I need to be able to get out and
yep.
Be around people. The biggest thing for me, and it was probably the final straw, was the VA business. I tried to do that out of my house by myself, and I really beat myself up because I had every opportunity in front of me to really give it a go and some people behind me, but I couldn't pull it off. And that's when I was like, man, I really need to get something's wrong.
Mm.
So.
Well, I remember when we first started working together, one of the common topics is procrastination, and we started talking about that, and I have my own little drill that we kind of do, and one of those things is when you're procrastinating, pause and notice all the times that you're procrastinating, and then just come and let's talk about like a whole host of times that you were procrastinating. The idea what we try to do is find out what all those things have in common. I mean, certainly you're having a hard time doing them, but we like to try to hone down when you do things and when you don't. And I remember in asking you those questions, a few things kind of popped up. One was either it was repetitive and boring, or you didn't really know what you were supposed to do, or the other one that seemed to me is when you were by yourself, you had some difficulty. And then when we did all that, then I would ask you, well, tell me times in your life were actually able to, you know, get things done and move forward. And we saw a pattern emerge, right?
Yeah, almost immediately. It was amazing.
Can you share what you saw?
Yeah, I needed to verbalize my thoughts. And if I'm being around people, like-minded people or people that I can just bounce ideas off of is critical for me. And when I am left to my own devices and just alone by myself to figure out something that is appearing to be in that gray area where I'm not really sure, and therein comes the procrastination because I'm not sure. And I have to literally verbalize it out of my mouth and talk things through to be able to get a clear understanding of what my next step is. And that is probably one of the, I've learned many things, but that's probably one of the most critical things that I've learned is that I have to verbalize.
Which is interesting because it really kind of changes the game. If you're focused on, you're having a hard time doing something, and you're just trying to do it harder, that's one way of doing it. But it's kind of cool when you sit there and say, well, wait a second, I can do these things. I just need to be with somebody or verbalizing, because if you focus then on creating the environment for you to work in, where you naturally have people around and you can verbalize,
right,
what used to be difficult all of a sudden becomes a heck of a lot easier, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
It takes
some of the, it takes a lot of the pressure off, and then I become unfrozen. When there's pressure, I freeze. I'm like a deer in the headlights.
It's funny because you bring that up, and when anybody comes to coaching, that's the first thing I talk about is we got to take the pressure off, because it's just kind of like sports. If the defense's job is to put pressure on the offense, and the reason you do that is because it inhibits performance. So if you're beating yourself up from procrastination, you're actually putting pressure on yourself and really kind of making it worse, right?
Right. It is. I definitely am making it worse. But the irony is, given the right environment, which is something, the main thing that, one of the things that, mm-hmm, I've learned in coaching, the pressure and some of those, that's how I thrive and that's when I do my best work. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, but learning what type of environment is conducive for pressure and what kind is not. As soon as I feel vague, I don't know what's going on, and I'm out in the water alone, then
yep,
that's when I freeze.
Well, this isn't scientific, everybody out there, but I do, my sense of it is particularly those with ADD, is if you wait to the last second, the adrenaline starts to mm-hmm, go, and that adrenaline adjusts your brain chemically, just like exercise and or stimulants, and sometimes you can just, all that adrenaline can kind of get you over the top, which is okay, except you can't live your life deadline to deadline. It just wears you out after a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of our jobs was to try to find, your way of doing it. And I want to go to a break here in a second, but we were also talking in that process and all of this discovery, we started to realize exercise and movement was a piece of the puzzle to you, right?
Absolutely, yes. And that, I always knew that. I know a lot about exercise and fitness, but it wasn't until I actually associated it to how my mind, how I process things,
mm-hmm,
and how much more effective I am when I have worked out in the morning. And I've lived it firsthand. It's really true. And I will even still sometimes think, oh, I don't want to work out. I'm not going to do it today. I've got this, and this. And sure enough, in a much shorter time period now, I realize that that was the wrong decision, because now I'm stressed and I'm not handling things like I would have if I would have exercised.
So in the beginning process, we were really trying to find out, we were dealing with the stuff that wasn't working, and we would talk about that type of stuff, and I'd also ask you for times when it did work, and we were looking for patterns and commonalities, and what we started to understand about you is that people were a good structure to have you around, because you can naturally verbalize with them, it would help you think. Two is that if you could exercise in the morning plus bring some movement where you're up and around, just not seated at a desk all day, that would actually take the pressure off. And we started to realize that if we focused on those things, again, environmental things, you were actually able to begin to get things done that you were struggling with before. Is that accurate?
Yes, very much so.
Excellent.
Very much so, yeah.
I tell you what, I want to go to a break, and when we come back, we're going to shift a little bit, because we started to learn about not just the areas of difficulty, but we actually started to really kind of realize who you are and a little bit of what comes naturally. So when we come back, I would like to get into that. Is that all right with you?
Sure, yes.
With that, we'll be right back.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Train your brain with Brain Train. ADHD impacts grades, relationships, and the quality of life for your kids. Parents now have a new way to improve the lives of their ADHD child without using meds. Brain Train is designed to exercise your child's mind, to train it to work differently and efficiently. Learn how Brain Train can make a change by training your child's brain. Visit Brain Train at www.brain-train-adhd.com for more information today.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We have Michelle in our virtual studio, and we're talking about the coaching experience. Before the break, Michelle got on and kind of gave us a little bit of background on her, and we started talking about how coaching started. We focused on procrastination and some things that she was kind of struggling with, and in the process, we were trying to understand why she was having the difficulty struggling, and then we started trying to figure out when were times that she didn't have difficulty and see if we could pull those together. And what was interesting and fun was it wasn't about breaking things into little tasks. It wasn't about all those classic top 10 type things. It had more to do with focusing on how she does it and creating that environment for her to do it in. And when we started to do that stuff, it was funny because things started to kind of move. Michelle, I want to keep on this, but I want to transition a little bit. After we were getting into that, we started talking about, like, what you were attracted to and what worked for you. And you remember how we were talking about, like, all the things that you started and you had – sometimes you got things finished, but some things you didn't, but you had all these creative ideas?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you share with our listeners a little bit about some of that type, and we'll kind of get into kind of how we honed it in and kind of figured out how you work?
Well, I started really coming up with a list of ideas, which wasn't easy at first because I was so conditioned to think about all the negative things, the things that I haven't completed. But when I really stopped and thought about things that I had done successfully, I had to think about things that came naturally to me. And
mm-hmm.
One was being with people, inspiring people, and just naturally having fun with people. And
mm-hmm.
That tied somewhat into my creative aspect as far as creating art for people. It all stemmed back to I want to make people feel good. And
mm-hmm.
It just comes instinctually to me, and I don't even realize that I do it. And I didn't realize I did it until I suppose intermittently I did here and there, but not enough to make it powerful enough to realize, wow, that's what I'm really good at.
And that was actually fun because I think there was about a month where every day I just kept repeating. You kept giving me example after example of what you did. But what was interesting to me is when you would look at some of these things that you do, because you'd have an idea like, okay, here's an idea we could do for my kids in school to raise money and get them excited, or here's something I could do in the house to make it better, or here's something I could do with the girls down the street, or here's something I could do at work. You were always thinking in terms of taking it from the beginning all the way to the end, kind of like starting a business from scratch, going all the way in and seeing it through, which was seeing everything to fruition.
Right.
And what was interesting, what I saw a lot of is you were really good, kind of not vertically, but more horizontally, is that whenever there was something that needed to be done that had some creativity, you had great ideas. Mm-hmm. Whenever you were with other people, you were able to execute those ideas. And whenever you had great ideas with people that you could execute and you could be in the moment, you always were able to move on that. Mm-hmm. It's when you had to plan it over a long period of time, mm-hmm. When you couldn't really kind of be in the moment, and when you had to do it yourself, that was like the graveyard
mm-hmm. It became very heavy, yes.
And it was interesting because from earlier we talked about shifting what you were paying attention to, is it was fun for me because it was very clear that you were good at these types of things, but you were trying to do so much more. Mm-hmm. And that so much more stuff was the heavy stuff, and that was the stuff you didn't really like to do.
Right. That was very enlightening. I definitely found myself getting stuck in things to execute these, all of these thoughts that I had, the execution of them. I could come up with a lot of good ideas, but I would then just say, oh, I can do it myself, or, you know, for whatever reason, I wouldn't create a conducive environment. And that's what I've really learned, is what environment, what structure works for me to be able to make all of these thousands of ideas that I have going on constantly in my head come to fruition.
And so it's funny because we started looking back at the areas you struggle with, like the VA business and some of the secretarial stuff or administrative type stuff, and it was, we started to realize that all those had the negative characteristics.
They did, yeah.
They were all planning. They weren't really inspirational. You were regressing, even doing the virtual assistant business out of your house.
Right.
And that
was
the opposite. And I'll jump in here, and I remember you had a job opportunity that came up that you were questioning, and most people go into an interview, and they're basically there, as I say, they're groveling for the job.
Right.
They're trying
right.
to say yes to anything that we do. And I remember on our side, I said, well, you know, tell me what you want in the job. And I think if I remember, we went down a list and said, you know, if you don't have to learn more than an hour a day, if you don't have to spend that reading, if you can have something visual to deal with, if you interact with people, if there's other people that you can bounce off ideas and you can be a part of a team but not have to do it all by yourself.
Right.
You remember that?
I do. We wrote down the perfect situation, the ideal situation, which also required me thinking out of the box, because that's something that for me, I never considered, well, what would work for me? I mean, and that's enlightening because it has to work for you, or else you're not going to do your best.
And it was fun on my side because it's a little bit of a paradigm shift, but I was kind of coaching the middle. As opposed to walking in and asking what you have, walk in and tell them emphatically, this is what I am and this is what I do, and then let them determine if they need somebody like you.
Right. Like,
and I think the metaphor was, you know, I love to climb trees, and I'm a squirrel. If you need a squirrel, hire me. So if they were looking for a fish, they'd go, well, no, thank you.
Right.
But if you could definitively tell them what you could do and stuff, and while you went in and you didn't quite do that, it was interesting because they basically said, we need this, this, and this, right?
Yes, that's what they said. And it all worked out, and it was just interesting how it all just fell into place when I started thinking differently about the situation. Like, I was the one in control of the situation in terms of what I wanted, which is in turn what they offered. And I love my job. It's a great job.
And this is, I'm telling this story because this one kind of landed a little bit in our lap. I mean,
yeah, it did.
You walked in with a mindset of this is what I'm going to do, but they were saying, hey, this is what we have, and it kind of got overshadowed because the pieces kind of fit. Mm-hmm. But I need to go to another break for a second, but when I come back, there's another thing that kind of came up where we really had to walk in and say who you were a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And actually kind of deal with that. So let's go to break, and when we come back, we'll pick up where we left off, all right?
Okay, sounds good.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're with Michelle talking about her coaching experience. Beginning the show, we were talking about, as we normally do, people come to coaching dealing with procrastination, trying to figure out ways to get that to work. Then we started to shift and learn a little bit about who Michelle is and what actually works for her. In that process, we were able to cast her, and I like the word cast as opposed to miscasting, casting her in a job that really made some sense. And we got a little lucky on that one, but Michelle, I want to kind of talk, and by the way, do you have some time to run over today?
Yes, I do.
Because I really want to highlight this, because you got done, and one of the things that you've always wanted to do was to kind of lead an exercise class to inspire people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about, we started looking for that, which, A, you had to study and take some exams to be a Zumba instructor. So I guess let's talk about that for a second. How'd that work?
Well, I had been a fitness instructor prior, but to take that to the next level, to teach something that I was more interested in, I had to get an AFA certification, which is a national accreditation, and that required studying and taking a test, 150-question test, and a practical exam, which the irony is the information there was some stuff that I knew, and I've been tested on before, and that's an area of interest for me. But when it came down to it and I had to actually study and read and memorize and learn, I was paralyzed again. I had procrastinating getting this certification for several years now, simply because the thought of sitting down and studying was just like, oh.
Yep.
So it was really interesting, because I, working with you, I was able to figure out how, down to, okay, what type of environment, where do I sit? Where do I sit? What is going on around me? What time of day? All of these things taken into consideration as to how I can best study. But most importantly was, because we had already figured out that I was a very verbal person, working with somebody else was critical and made all the difference in the world. And fortunately, my neighbor across the street, she didn't have to learn any. She just basically listened to me as I gave her the information that I was to learn, and just going back and forth with her and verbalizing it, imprinted it in my brain, and I didn't realize that was, you know, that's what
it took. Yeah, so in a sense, you were teaching it to her.
Exactly, yeah.
That process of organizing and her asking you clarifying questions enabled you to retain the information. And if I recall, you did pretty good on the written exam, right?
Yeah, I think I got a 95.
Yeah.
Like that. It was good.
So if everybody out there, rather than just sit here and buy down, the idea is we tried to do it her way. It wasn't a walk in the park, but it's certainly easier than what it was before, and we had a lot of success. Mm-hmm. And so now we got our certification, and now it's time to go find a place. Let's talk about that. Tell me what happened from there.
Well, I actually had an opportunity come up to teach a Zumba class at the gym where I was working out at, and I was very excited about it, and because it was a new facility, there were some delays on the class actually beginning, and that was okay because I was just putting off the procrastination of putting actually a class together. I was getting stuck on formatting a class to what I perceive to be in my head as the standards of the way it should be, or Zumba standards, versus doing it the way that I instinctually do it, which you had pointed out time and time and time again. It took a little while for it to sink in. That comes naturally to me. That's one of the things that I really had an aha moment with, was I am in the moment, and given the right circumstances and I'm in the moment, it's going to be good, especially when it comes to teaching and doing my own thing in a fitness class. And I had some anxiety, major anxiety leading up to it, because I was stuck on doing it their way and not just letting it go and doing it the way I instinctually did it. So it was learning to trust myself, which I've gotten a lot better at. But
It was kind of funny when this opportunity kind of came around. I remember you're like, "Hey, I got this opportunity to kind of do it." And instantaneously, you went into, "Well, I got to get this place set up. I've got to go. Where am I going to get the sound stuff? How am I going to do this?
Right.
And how am I going to do that?" It was all kind of breaking down, and I was like, "How come you just can't show up with a mic and the stuff and just say, I'm going to start unassuming and just start, you know, grab a couple girlfriends and just do it the first time?" And they were having some issues on their hands, so it kind of dragged out for a little while. And as we got a little bit closer, there was some anxiety because you felt like you had to get all the music together. You had to, pre-choreograph the whole thing. And I'm like,
But
we had learned about you. You can go and become a Zumba instructor, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're any good at it. That just means you passed the test. You're up there with so much energy and inspiration, and people love your class, not because you're a Zumba instructor, because you're just, you don't always do it by the rules, and you have a great time in front of everybody. And I have to tell you, in working with you, it was hard for you to work with you, so you could see that it was easy that way and let go of that heavy pre-planning, I've got to do it this way. And we spent some time trying to, how can we change the name, Zumba by Michelle, so that you could kind of have an excuse to do your own thing. Again, all that stuff was just to create it so that you could just kind of be in the moment. So as things started to unfold, you got a little bit closer. And in the end, I know you went out and listened to some music, but you did kind of wing it. Leading into the first one, you had some doubt. I remember you called me a couple times just to verbalize it, because you were just getting kind of nervous again, just to talk your way through it and just kind of calm down and take the pressure off. But the night of your first class, you had a whole bunch of people there, and you did wing it, right?
Right.
And you had some of it, but you did wing it, right?
I did. And actually, after that, I went to a continuing ed class, and we actually learned 5 choreographed routines, and I did these routines all day long. But there was the pressure of these are the routines, and that was on a Saturday, and I taught the first of the week and had every intention of going in there and performing those routines. And I got up there and totally did my own thing, and that was all good. But again, I went into it a little nervous again, am I going to remember that? And then right as I went in, I was like, you know what, I don't even need to worry about this. And consequently, it just went. And I think that one was before there was other instructors in there, and they commented on how much fun it was. So that kind of made it all better. So
And what's also kind of good is through this all, you actually had, there was an issue with your iPod music and a mic type. Had you been scripting it, you would have been flustered, but you just did your thing, was able to go past it. And my sense is most people didn't even know what was going on, because you were just going with the flow, which is, I don't like this song, let's kind of go on to the next one.
Say that again?
I think, one time, I think you said you stopped a song in the middle of it because you're like, I'm done with it. You kind of went into the next one. Somebody might have noticed if they were looking for it, but the rest of the crowd, it was probably so natural, it was a piece of cake. So where we are right now in the whole process is, we talked earlier about shifting what you're paying attention to. What insights have you had as a result of this, and how do you view the world differently?
Ooh, I don't know if we have enough time on the show. No. viewing things, learning to view things from a different perspective is been probably the most, and I know that's cliche because that's your whole thing, but that's truly what happens is you totally shift what you pay attention to. And once I started doing that, I was able to see the things that I'm good at. And that, again, is, you know, what ADD is always, you know, you read so much about is the negative, everything that I've done wrong. And once through working with you, and once I could start to see all of the things that I've actually done well, it made it much easier for me to say, well, the things that I view as wrong aren't really wrong. I just need to change my environment, or maybe it's something that, you know, I was trying to make myself like, you know, just being honest with myself.
Mm-hmm.
So just really knowing what makes me work, what makes me tick, knowing that exercise is critical, knowing that it's imperative that I take care of myself first, and that when a situation arises and something is given to me, I have to immediately think, okay, for this to work, I have to work with people. I have to run down the list of things that I know work for me. And
mm-hmm.
if those aren't there, then be honest and know that, you know what, this isn't, you're kidding yourself if you think this is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I've tried to do it that way several times. You know, I still try to do the old habits, but it always consistently, as soon as I implement the things that I've learned about myself, then it usually works out.
I kind of like I remember the angst, because everybody, she is very creative. She's got lots of ideas, and I'm just going to take a school situation where, you know, at school they're trying to do some things, and you would say, well, I have this great idea, da-da-da-da, and sometimes you'd say yes to it in the past, and it would be kind of, mm-hmm. you know, the execution get kind of crazy in the minute. And then towards the end, as we started to understand that you could come up with a great idea, and you could be with all the kids to kind of get them going, but that's kind of where it ended, and you said, well, hey, I'll do this to, like, another parent, if you do this part of it. I'm not doing this
right.
unless you do that part of it, because this is the part that I do. And if you can do that part, then I'll do it. And that type of mentality by saying, oh, no, I can do it, but I'll only do it if I can do it this way, because this is my
right.
way, as
right.
opposed to, no, I guess I have to be able to do it all. That's a shift of the way you pay attention to it, and it becomes very easy to say, hey, listen, as a team, I could be a great person if I can play my role, and this is my role.
Right, right. That's absolutely true. It's been amazing. I mean, the opportunity or the things that I actually wake up in the morning and I actually think my mind still races with thousands of creative things and all the ideas of things that I want to do, but it doesn't weigh me down now. Now I think, oh, I could actually, you know, something that really sparks my attention, I'm like, all right, what am I going to do to make that work? And what environment am I going to create that's going to make that happen? And I've come a long way with that, a long way.
We had Greg Kretsch on our show in September of 2011. It was funny. We were talking about noticing your thoughts and stuff like that. And I hadn't seen him speak before. And he said, you know, we have ideas. They just kind of flow through your head. And there's nothing good or bad about ideas. They just stream through your head. And with ADD, it's just like you got more than anything else. But attention and ideas are completely different. Attention is like a spotlight that you would shine on an idea. So mm-hmm. it's kind of neat with ADD because you have this huge parade of ideas that are flowing through your head, and a lot of them you just need to let kind of go by. The idea is you grab that spotlight and you shine the light on the good ones.
Mm-hmm.
And then you develop those good ones, and it doesn't matter you got all, I mean, like as we had talked to, anything that required inspiration, you were immediately attracted to
mm-hmm.
because it was just, it's just in your DNA. But it's when you started to realize, wait, I know I'm attracted. These are all great ideas, but I want to pick out the best ideas and activate on those. It, mm-hmm. From a distance, it's like you started to do that. You started to know what's going on, and you got to be more in control.
Yeah, and one thing that what I've noticed and what I've done is just give myself the freedom. If there's something that, you know, with work, if there's a particular project at hand where we need to come up with a marketing plan or something to promote that, if someone says, go ahead and put that together, all of a sudden I'm like, ugh, there's pressure. But instead of, and I still have, you know, I still tend to procrastinate, but what I've stopped to do is just give myself the freedom to just write everything, every idea known to man that I can possibly think of that pertains to whatever the subject is at hand. And it really opens up without putting limitations on it. It doesn't, it's not right or wrong. And just letting myself express, I've done that in multiple situations where I just write everything that I'm trying to figure out. Because if I stop and really let it overwhelm me, which I can do in an instant, then I become paralyzed. So if I let that go and then also be willing to share that and say, okay, this is, let's listen to all, let me use you as a soundboard.
Listen to all my ideas and let me know which ones are good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's helped a lot.
That's awesome. That's
yeah. And having you as far, I mean, it's always having people around that completely understand and don't think that, you know, wow, this girl, she just doesn't stop. It's officially crazy, but no, it's good. It's amazing how much more how much more creative I have visibly been. I know that I knew I was like that inside and I knew everything that was going on in mind, but I've been able to verbalize it and let so many things go and create a lot of, actually bring things out of my mind and create them, and it's been cool.
Excellent. Well, for our listeners out there, I will tell you, as a coach, I say there's two kinds of coaches, ones that have the solution for you and they coach your behavior to it, and then there's more of the ICF model, which is everybody you work with is created naturally resourceful and whole, they're not broken, they're fixed. And in that environment, I think attention coach is a little bit better than just a life coach or an ADD coach, because what we do is I just listen and we just mirror back what's going good, and you look for those commonalities, like, okay, tell me a time when you were having to get some paperwork and you got it done. Well, you know, I did that with my friend. And then they give you another time, well, I did that, you know, with my husband or my child. And you start to, if you really kind of calm down and listen, you'll start to see the environment that will help. And so often those with ADD, they say it's really morally about the environment than it is what you're doing. And I have this, like, saying, you know, I individually would hate to dig a ditch, but if Robin Williams was standing next to me cracking jokes the whole time, I probably would love it.
Yeah, that would be. Anybody could do that. That would be fun.
So, Michelle, any last words of wisdom or thoughts you want to share with anybody out there on your experience?
I just want to share, if anyone is on the fence or if anyone has, in the way depths of their mind, thought, you know, maybe I should get a coach, or considered it even for a minute, do it, because it truly has been the best investment I have ever made. And my husband notices a difference. I notice difference. My kids, I'm much more, I guess, positive with them and their aspirations. And I would always say that dream, you know, you can always accomplish your dreams, but for me personally, I wasn't so confident about that because of all of my limitations that I thought were on me. Now, I don't feel that way anymore, and it makes me even that much better for a mom or whatnot. But I really encourage anybody who is struggling to get a coach.
Well, I'm going to temper that a little bit because I certainly appreciate it. But one of the key things, Michelle, is you came in, you had an open mind, and you were willing to look at some things differently. And for those who come to coaching who they want coaching because they want to be able to do it this way, that can be very difficult because your way is not necessarily the best way. And I've said this 1,000 times before. I had struggled with reading comprehension and stuff when I got to college. I didn't do research papers like I did everybody else. I went and I would call the authors of books and I would interview them and quote them and use those as footnotes and go and get my one paper quote from encyclopedia. So if you feel like you have to do it a certain way and you're not open to do it a different way, coaching probably is not necessarily going to be good.
Right.
But if you're open to, like Michelle, and you really want to see what you do and you're willing to make some adjustments in your environment, it's exciting. And it's been, Michelle, it's been an absolute honor working with you and a lot of fun watching you kind of transform and pay attention to what works. And now I just, it's just fun to think about what's possible for you in the next couple of years with the confidence of knowing what you do and what you always do very well.
Yes, thank you. It's invaluable. It's like the MasterCard commercial. You could say this, but priceless.
Well, Michelle, thank you very much for coming on the show. Everyone else, stay tuned for next week's edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Everybody, I hope you enjoyed that. That was a pre-tape show. I can tell you that Michelle has moved on from coaching, and she's thriving. She's got a bunch of new endeavors and taken her job to another level. Certainly very proud of her, and we hope that you learned a little bit about coaching and ADHD from her experience. There was a lot of really cool things that she brought out, pressure, the environment, getting past procrastination, in a variety of different ways. So with that, we hope you enjoyed the show. We will try to rebook Dr. Olivardia. He did call in a little later in the show, and we will have that for you soon. But with that, thanks again for tuning into this edition of Attention Talk Radio.